I was prepared to come and talk about, Ascension Day. That's what today is, Ascension Sunday. And then I thought, well, maybe I should say have something about Mother's Day, you know? Should have a focused sermon on Mother's Day. But I kept getting pulled toward Paul's writing to the Ephesians. And I kept thinking about prayer. So I think they kind of all intertwine. But, you know, when you're being pulled a certain direction, you just got to go with it. So today's sermon is focused on prayer. Do you think about your prayer life? Is it a good prayer life? What constitutes a good prayer life? We certainly ask for a lot of things. I can just look back on my prayers. You know, you ask, dear Lord, give me happiness. Give me health. Give me, make me better. Happiness, health, and wealth. Certainly we don't have that name it and claim it gospel that's preached out on the TVs today, but we do say, boy, you know, financial times are tough. Lord, if it be your will, give me a little more. That would be nice. And then I started thinking, well, who do you pray for? Again, I have to use myself as an example. A lot of times I pray for me. And when I'm not praying about myself, I pray for my family. Every night we sit down. Since we were, a new family, we've always made it a point to try to eat supper together. That's a very, very important part of our family life. And when we sit down before we eat, we say a prayer. And it just goes around the table. Everyone takes a turn. It might be my prayer for the supper on Sunday, and then on Monday it's Julie, and Tuesday we just keep going around. And so you pray for your family, for those that are there, for those that aren't there. Keep them safe. Pray for our country. You know, our country's going through some rocky political times. I don't know, maybe those of you that have been around longer than I have, you can say, politics have always been like that. But for me, I look at it and say, what in the world's going on? I say, come on, Lord, straighten things up down here. So, and it expands out, and you pray for work, you pray for your extended family, and the list goes on and on. And I figure, why do I pray? Well, Jesus told us to come to Him and ask. Keep asking. Keep asking. He's there to hear. So I think Ascension Day does fit into that. When He ascended to heaven, He's not sitting in a little stool somewhere next to God the Father, who has a big long white beard, on the right-hand side. That's, as Lutherans, we don't believe that. We believe heaven is, it's everywhere. Christ, physically, bodily, is at God's right hand in authority, but He's everywhere. He's not sitting in a chair somewhere in a little room looking down on us. He's a part of us. He's in our hearts. He's in the Eucharist when we receive communion today. So we pray because we're told. He's listening. Typically, I pray to relieve relieve anxiety. You know, I worry too much. You know, when you don't sleep at night, that's worrying too much. There was a great little snippet you'll probably see on Facebook today of someone that had a little glass of water and said, I'm not going to ask you if it's half empty or half full, but I'm just going to ask you this little glass of water, how much do you think this little glass of water weighs? Like, I don't know. 2 ounces, maybe? So if you held it in your hand, is that too heavy? No. All of us, we hold glasses of water every day. What if I asked you to hold that glass of water out there for a half an hour? That starts to get a little nerve-wracking. You know, you start to feel the little muscles in your hands, getting a little tense there. What if I asked you to hold that glass of water for 6 hours? That starts to hurt. As one who played football for a year when I was young and you did something wrong, the punishment was not to go run around. You simply put your arms out and the coach put the football on your hands. If the football drops, you're running. Keep it up and you'll be fine. Just don't let the football drop. It's easy to do for about 2 minutes. Then it's really, really hard. Same with that glass of water. Same with anxiety. It's okay to be anxious for something. We all are. It happens. But when you hold on to that anxiety hour after hour after hour after hour, it really starts to wear you down. Well, Paul's letter to the Ephesians today was focused on what he's praying for. And it just really stuck to me. I've not stopped giving thanks for you and remembering you in my prayers. He's praying for these people. And I like what he's focused on. His prayer is different than maybe I would have gone out and prayed for people in the past. His focus is on the knowledge of Christ. It's probably one of the greatest prayers we can have for ourselves and for everyone else, for the church, for our families, for our country. I just want you to know Jesus. And by know, it's not just the intellectual acknowledgement, oh yeah, Jesus, I kind of know him. It's a deep, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's talking about here. He says, I want you to know that the knowledge of Christ brings hope. I think this is wonderful. Paul writes, let me just read exactly what he says here and I'll talk about it a little bit. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so you may know Him, Jesus, better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you. The knowledge of Christ brings hope. Think about that. What is hope? It's not a mere wish. Hope is the knowledge of something that you expect to happen. A wish is just something, boy, I really wish I'd get a bike. It might happen, might not. But hope is an expectation. I know it's going to happen. I'm relying upon it. And Paul's praying that the knowledge of Christ to these Ephesian believers will give them that hope. You know, that you go look back on, it was near Christmas. I don't know if it was Christmas Eve or maybe I think it was the first Sunday after Christmas. We heard about after Jesus was born, his parents took him to the temple. And there was Simeon and Anna. I mean, they stayed at the temple day after day after day. And why? Because they were given a prophetic voice that they would witness the Christ. If it was just a wish, I'm sure after a few days, maybe a couple weeks, certainly a couple months, they'd have said, I got better things to do. I got to get home. But they had hope. My eyes have seen it. It's a Simeon song. You may now dismiss me. Send me away. I've seen it. My life cannot get any better. Everything you've promised is right before me. Anna did the same thing. She was at the temple constantly praying day and night. But Paul goes on, not only that your heart may be enlightened so that you may know the hope, but I pray that the knowledge of Christ will give you the riches of His glorious inheritance. What is the inheritance? Something Pastor Hartman used to say still sticks with me today. When Pastor Hartman would preach at a funeral, he would always say during the funeral service, and jump in if I'm incorrect here, but he would always say that the deceased has claimed his baptismal inheritance. The riches we have in the knowledge of Jesus is He's called us and said, I want you to be with me forever. You're different than everybody else. You're holy. You're set apart. And I want you to be with me forever. What a beautiful prayer. And Paul wants the people to know that. And lastly, the knowledge of Christ. Paul says, I want you to know His incomparably great power for those of us who believe. God raised Jesus from the dead. He was dead 3 days in the tomb. And God said, not only did I prophesize and tell you that He was coming back to life. Not only did Jesus say to His apostles, time and time again, Son of Man must be put to death, and after the third day He's going to rise again. But it did. It happened. Think about all the other great movements we've been talking about in Sunday school. The great movements of people. You're like, what's the difference between Christianity and Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons? And the list goes on. And we talked about a whole bunch of them. They all began with some private revelation, some little person, a man, who came out and said, you're not going to believe what just happened. I know you didn't see it. But while I was alone by myself in a room, I found special glasses that allowed me to see God's word. And it's a little different than you think, so follow me. Where's the glasses? Don't worry about that. They don't exist right now. Where's this weird book that you just read? You weren't there for that. But I'm going to tell you. Christianity's different because it was public. It was right out in front of everybody. He raised people from the dead. He rose from the dead. He was crucified all right out in public view so that there is not one person that can say that didn't happen, because there would have been thousands of people that said, yes, it did. I saw it. That's what makes us different. It's not a hidden movement. It's public. And it affects each and every one of us. That's what just amazes me. That's the power of God, and it's in us. The knowledge of Christ gives us that power. We go to the Lord and we pray because we know He can take care of us. You know, I had I call it an epiphany. It's just something that came to my mind this week. And it's, you know, you're either going to get it or you're not going to get it, all right? But you kind of know I like the Alaskan shows, you know. And the Bush people started up on Friday. Cindy, if you missed it, the first episode of the new season started on Friday. It was awesome. But before Friday's first episode of the new season, they're just running this marathon of Bush people. Every episode, one after the other, after the other, after the other. I could have stayed up for 24 hours and watched them. And I'm sitting there by myself. Everyone else was doing something else. And if you don't know the people, the dad's name is Billy. And, you know, bad things kind of happen to Billy and the family. They have boats break. They have boats sink. They have teeth fall out. They have arms. He's got tremors and goes into kind of convulsions and stuff. He's got some medical problems. But something had happened. And Billy was really kind of down. He says, I know we're going to get out of this, but he's like, this is bad. This is really, really bad. I just don't know how we're going to get out of this, to his wife. And I sat there and I said, Billy, don't be so down. I've already seen this episode. Everything works out. And then it hit me. God knows. What are you so anxious about? There was a part of me that sat there. I ran to Julie and I told her, I said, you know, what am I so anxious about? I mean, I could just picture God, who is everywhere, saying, Dennis, Shepherd, what are you worried about? I know what's going to happen. You're going to be with me forever. It's going to be great. We read about it last week. Beautiful streets, the light of Christ around all the saints. What are you worried about? I know the end. And therefore, it is only He that can say, don't be anxious. I'll give you everything you need. And it all works out in the end. If I could have reached through that TV screen, I would have just strangled Billy. I've seen the end. I've already seen the other episode. So, focus on your prayer life. Keep in mind that God is good. You'll get everything you need, maybe not everything you want. It does work out to His glory and to our benefit. The hope we have through Jesus Christ, the incredible riches of His salvation, and know that we have the power of God Almighty behind us. That's a good thing. Amen.